This is Microphone Check, Hip Hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shahi Muhammad.
And I'm Future. How about Gucci? How about Ben? At the same damn time. On the phone, cooking dope. At the same damn time. Selling white, selling me. At the same damn time. Fucking two bad bitches. At the same damn time. At the same damn time. At the same damn time. What up?
What's going on?
What's good, man?
It's good, it's good, it's good to be here. You know what I'm saying? My tour coming up at the end of May, like May 23rd, the first date for the North American tour is, you can get the tickets at freebands.com also. Just to plug that right now, off the rip.
Do that.
What is Freebands?
It's my label.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And who's on it?
It's, we just got producers, we have artists, but we just know nothing signed and sealed.
Okay.
Besides, like, a few producers right now.
Yeah, but they're all over the album, right?
Yeah.
Especially Metro Boomin.
Yeah, Metro Boomin, man. That's the next big producer.
Yeah, also from Atlanta.
No, he's from St. Louis. He live in Atlanta now.
Okay.
He's from St. Louis.
Okay, how did you guys come together?
Man, someone introduced us, who it was? I think Propane. He was telling me about him. He used to always try to get at me, and then, you know, he just can't really talk directly to me. So it was someone who was picking up the phone for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he introduced us, and we started just working in the studio vibe or not, man. Just had a crazy bun, and we just bunned it through music, and it's like my brother.
What do you like about his production?
I just like he different, you know what I'm saying? His sounds, the sounds that he chooses to put together, he got a real unique sound. And just stand out. He's just ambitious and he hungry. He never stopped. He always working in the studio. Like, you call him right now, he probably making a beat, recording someone, and just trying to get better at his craft.
He's pretty young, right?
Yeah, he's young. He's, what, 21? Mm-hmm. 20, 21.
That's crazy to me. I was, like, doing nothing when I was 21. Ali had already put out 2 classic albums, for example.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. 21, man, that's the age, you know what I'm saying? But usually, like, back then, like, back in the day, our artists used to be probably 17, 18 when they came out. Our artists used to be 16, 17 around when they come out. Now, it's just like, that's when you break. It's like more development now.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come out probably when you're, like, 24, 25 would be the breakout age right now.
Is that a good thing or a negative thing?
It's just timing,
I guess. It's just the way it is, though, really. I mean, like, I knew what I wanted to do, like, at 12. Like, I knew it. I wanted to make music. Like, it was just, like, I needed the resources. But, like, I got an 18-year-old nephew. He's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, man.
Gotta figure it out.
So I just think this generation, it just takes them a little bit.
Time to catch on.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Who else is on Free Bands?
In Free Band Gang, we got Young Scooter, we got Casino, my brother's Mexico Ran. We got dudes like Nicavelli, we got Doughboy, you know what I'm saying? He Free Band Gang. Tess out of Baltimore. It's so many of us, you know what I'm saying? It's like the Wu-Tang Clan.
So why'd you say, you said, like, you know, deal wasn't done or something like that, so... Just a moment ago, you were talking about, like, mentioning everybody.
Because I really haven't signed up to any paperwork.
They so just, it's just, like,
loyalty,
understanding.
It's all about loyalty.
That's important.
Like, I didn't want to be all do the paperwork and stuff.
Yeah.
I was like, man, you just got to be loyal to me. Because I know when the money come, like, and then when you start getting certain fame, you're going to either stay with me or you're going to be like, man, I'm doing my own thing. I'm doing my own record label. Like, now, as soon as you blow up, everybody want their own record label.
Yeah.
Or their own crew. They don't want to be a part of your crew no more. They like, hey, I want to leave. But I just want people just to understand, I'm not trying to hold you. I'm not trying to bind you into nothing with me. It's just, if you want to be loyal to me, loyal, you feel like I deserve something, you'll give it to me at your own time. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to feel like I'm obligated to something that's yours, you know what I'm saying? If you feel like I deserve it, then give it to me. If not, then it is what it is.
That's a rarity, because usually people try to, like, they find something special, and it's just like they want to lock it down and hoard it, you know, but...
Yeah, and tell you what to do. It's not me, man. I want to have bosses around me, because, you know what I mean, at the end of the day, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you want to make relationships to keep them, you know what I'm saying? So I make my relationships to keep all my relationships, not try to burn bridges that you might need to cross over one day.
Mm-hmm. Does any of that come out of what you learned, you know, as part of the Dungeon family?
Yeah, of course, because my cousin Rico Wade, so it just that's my background. He never tied Outkast up into anything, had them bind into anything from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? From Goody Mob, anybody in the Dungeon family. It was all loyalty with Rico. Give you everything he got. And if you give him half back or his 100% back, it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to base it off that, man. We got into this for the music, and he always told me, man, let it be about the music first, and it's going to override everything else.
What was the music like growing up? Like, what were you listening to?
When I was listening to, Too Short, Tribe Called Quest, E-40, Soulja Slim to Juvenile to the entire No Limit roster what Master P was doing to the Cash Money from Yellow Boy days, the UNLV. My mom used to always listen to like Barry White, Anita Baker, or Marvin Gaye, Curtis Mayfield, just a variety of music, man. Versatility. That's where I get my versatility from.
Yeah.
What was it? Tell us more about like working with Rico. Like, how old were you when that started? How early did you know?
17.
Okay.
When I started working with him, started going over his house, I was about to be like 18, turning 18. I started going over his house more regularly and started staying over there with him. By the time I was 18, I was a regular at the Dungeon. Mm-hmm.
Who gave you your nickname?
G-Rock from the West Side, from Allen Temple. He gave my name the Future. He was like, man, you the Future, man. You the Future. Like, just stuck with the name.
At 17?
Yeah, he gave it to me from off, because I was young, and everyone in the Dungeon was 20, probably 28.
Okay.
Up at that time, everybody was 28 or older, you know what I'm saying? I was the youngest one in the Dungeon. They was like, you the Future of the Dungeon. And here, like, what, 5-10 years later, man, it is what it is.
That's crazy.
Words powerful.
Yeah.
That's what you got to watch what come out your mouth.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Was CeeLo an influence on you, your style?
I believe everyone was an influence. Like, you got all the music I just named was an influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I was watching It's the Scenario with Spring Break. It was like, I think it was Spring Break performance with Busta Rhymes. You know what I'm saying?
When he
was just his whole his attitude. So everything just from the performances of that of just the old school hip hop, from Rico Wade to just breaking down the music, just to just from looping the tracks to just going to find the snares, because I come from an era where you gotta understand music and you gotta study music. Like, I studied music for a long time. I studied Rico, I studied the way his production sounds. I studied when they was going to get Digging Through the Crates. People don't even know what Digging Through the Crates. You can ask a producer right now, I'm like, what's Digging Through the Crates? They don't even know what that is. And like, what you talking about? You got to go and find your snare. You got to find that sound that you want. You know what you want. And that's what it's about. It's about, that's the culture. That's hip hop. You know what I'm saying? From graffiti, just your tag on a wall, just in the middle of Times Square, whatever you wanted at downtown Atlanta, wherever you feel like your tag, it's just about that art. And that's just where hip-hop originated from. And that's what I learned from being through the Dungeon up until this point right now. That's what helped me to reinvent myself over and over again to do music. A lot of people say auto-tune, but don't understand that I'm a student of the game. I've been studying this for a long time. They like, man, how you come up with this? How you come up with that? I know melody. You know what I'm saying? I know rhythm. I know bass guitar. I know the piano. I know everything about music that helps build the music that go along with just creating the whole art form, you know what I'm saying?
When you go in, do you you have like a set formula and a process, the approach, like you going in specifically to look for like kicks, snares, or stuff like that, or is it, you know, like?
Nah, it might just certain stuff just stand out. You know, you might hear a dope kick, and you just loop that kick for a long time, and you just start, you might write the verse off the kick, you might write the hook.
Yeah.
Just off the guitar line, or just a dope snare and a kick, and it just have the dope, the guitar and the snare just playing for the whole time when you looping the track, And then you just build a track over time and you build on top of your vocals. So it's different ways of recording a record.
Do you have times where you may have spent maybe like, I don't know, 18 hours in the studio or whatever, maybe even more, and then you go to sleep and you hear something and you be like...
I wake up and get right to
you
it.
You get right to it?
Yeah, because you have to do that. You have to sleep in the studio. You have to sleep in the studio and wake up to the snare, wake up to the pattern, the loop, the drum beat looping again. Like, Rico used to have beats looping for a day. Just have one beat just looping. It might not, it just be a sample. It might just be the sample just looping and just trying to distinguish what they were saying in the sample. Like, what are they saying? Like, what is this about? And just understanding, man, Googling and just learning more about that sample, where they come from, or where they even made that record at. Like, what studio they was in when they made this record? What studio you was at when you made your entire album? What was the vibe was y'all on? What y'all was thinking about? What y'all was reading? What y'all was looking at on TV? What you was smoking or what you was drinking? It's like, all that's just the vibe. Why are you laughing?
Because just to even think like, oh, what were you drinking? What were you watching on TV?
Yeah, what were you watching on TV to make you say? Because people don't understand. You can have a conversation with your friend or just anybody at the studio at the time to just spark that hook. People don't even know where that hook came from. Like, man, that hook just came from, man, my mom, I was walking out of the house and my mom said something to me one day back when I was in eighth grade, and it just played back in my head and I got a chance in the studio and put it on the track.
Yeah.
You get inspiration from craziest places. It's just about being creative. You got to step outside that box, you know what I'm saying, just to reach the people. You never know who can feel it, who can connect to.
It's important what you're saying, because sometimes people don't understand, you know, they think they want to do music, but they don't really have the full understanding of learning the history, especially specifically the hip-hop, but just from a creative perspective. You have, like, you know, like in English class, your teachers will tell you, write something, and they'll say, like, keep writing, or draw from this and draw from that, and a lot of people just kind of get lost, so you're absolutely right, just,
you know, where you're
picking, picking your pieces from.
Appreciate it.
From
every
aspect of life, so.
Exactly,
it's
exactly.
It's pretty dope.
Only the OGs, they know that, man. The young kids, they don't really understand. They just hear what they hear, but it's all good. But I know the people that understand music, they know where it's coming from. You know what I'm saying? I was telling Sean Kingston that yesterday. We was over, it was like far in the hills, and you can see the city of L.A. And I was like, man, you can see the entire city. It was at night. I was like, man, this what music is. This is just about this, the scenery, the art of that, how to make you connect with the lights and how to make you connect with the people. It's about the whole entire scene. And I had a song. I was like, man, this what this song sound like. It sound like what we looking at right now. Hmm. Some people draw it. Some people know how to talk about it. Some people write it in books. You know what I'm saying?
I've been carrying this quote for the past 2 weeks because I heard Harry Belafonte say that art is the gatekeeper of truth.
Yeah.
And I'm feeling like a lot of people call their music art, but some people it is, and some people they just floating. Not really. You know, it's a fine line when you're making music. At least for me, it's like I go in with a purpose, you know. I want to make it art, you know. And so, what's your thoughts on that?
That's my thought. Like, you want to make it that art, because, like I said, you see Picasso, you just see those different pictures, just stand out, and you want to be able to represent that. Like, man, how do I put that picture into words? You know what I'm saying? Put that wordplay together with representing that picture, because sometimes an artist can go there and just slap paint on the wall, and you be like, man. That's dope. And it just put a lot of colors in, put your hands in, just like, for your hands, it's moments that you can't get back. You can't put your handprint on that wall that same way again. You can't recreate that moment again.
Dressed up in all black leather. Woo. By the bad 38 special. Woo. Ain't a bad bitch, a nigga treasure. Need money on a whole nother level. Good time, nigga. Cause I ain't buying. Green money like a slave field. Niggas picking green like a sky.
that's why you go in the booth and you just try to get those takes that you can't recreate. You know what I mean? The way you said, you can't even say it again like that. If you try to do another take the same way, it wouldn't come out the same way.
Do you freestyle a lot?
Yeah, I always freestyle.
Yeah.
Because that's about the art. I can't mimic or I can't get back what I just came out of my mouth. Like, we were just asking me this question. I probably answer the question a different way every time you ask me. You know what I'm saying? The best way you answer is the first time when you speak. Mm.
How do you know? Like, how do you know you're done?
It's a feeling.
What is the feeling?
Man, it's just the feeling that you get when you listen to the music. I can't say it because we don't have music on. Like, I'm most comfortable when I'm in a studio and music playing. Mm-hmm. Like, if we had music playing, then you'll understand. You can probably pretty much get into your groove, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
When you write hooks, what do you want the hook to do?
Change the mood of a person.
Okay.
Like, whether it's good or bad, it can be a hook. Or just up-tempo club here. You want to be able to say, man, when I play this in the club, I want the whole club to change. With everybody just talking to each other when they hear this, I want everything just get quiet.
How does it work? How do you change the whole vibe?
It's just, man, you got to have that feeling. You know what I'm saying? It's just having that feeling. It's music is feeling. You're going to feel it. And if it feel right, it's going to feel right to people. It's connected to people's heart some kind of way. Mm-hmm.
You got to trust yourself, basically.
You got to trust your instinct. Mm-hmm.
Can you walk us through the process, your process, with Ben's friends?
Ben's friends, I was going to the studio. He was like, man, we're going to work with Dre 3000. I wanted to work with him. He was like, he was coming to the studio. And then we came to the studio. I thought I was about to play him a few tracks that I already had.
Which studio?
We was going to this Batcave. I call it a Batcave.
Okay.
And because it's all black with a black gate.
Okay.
And I just go in and I never come out. But he came to the Batcave and we was in the studio. And Rico Wade, he showed up. My cousin, he showed up with Organized. No, I think Ray was there. Moan was there. Big Rude. Like, everybody found out Dre was coming to the studio. I'm like, man, y'all found out Dre was coming to the studio. Y'all just invited everybody. I didn't even know how these people was going to show up. It's like 20 Dungeon family members show up. Like, it was a reunion. So we didn't even get a chance to work on any music the first day. So it's like the second day, because me and him, we pretty shy away from people when we in our creative zone.
Okay.
We don't like to work around a lot of people, mm-hmm. I guess. You know what I'm saying? Just how we are. Mm-hmm. And so we connect in a lot of ways. We have that chemistry, that bond with each other without even saying. It's like, he can look at me and be like, man, I don't want to take no picture of you. You don't want to take no picture of me. I'm not trying to Instagram. I don't want to tell nobody I'm working in the studio with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't do it for that reason. So it's just trying to weave out the realness. And, like, you know, artists these days, they want, as soon as you get in the studio, before you even do a record, they want, man, let's do Instagram pic. Let's do this. I'm not that kind of artist. I'm in there to make the music first. And, like, whatever come, the blogs pick it up. I'm not doing it for that reason. Because I know that's Dre. Like, he stray away from that thing. You'll run him away when you just start throwing so many things at him. And I feel you. I feel him because I'm that same way. Like, I just want it to happen organically. I don't want to just rush into it and it don't be what I want, what I expected out of it. So we just pretty much filled each other. I was just talking, having a conversation the first day. We ended up going back the second day. And we had a few beats, and it was an Organized Noise beat. And we just started going in on the beat and just started building. From that day on, we came up with, it wasn't Ben's Friends at first. It was something different. It was Ben's Bitch. It was called Ben's Bitch. And then we put the Butcher Toilet on it. Like, once we mixed it, we mixed the record like three times before we added the third verse on there. Okay. Before we added the chants on there, before we added the intro to the beat, we kept saying, man, it's missing something. We got to add those different textures on the over the track. Like, he kept telling me, like, man, you always want to just keep going back over and over and see something you can hear. Every time you listen to the track, once they mix it, you might hear something else you want to put on the track. You can't be afraid to do it again just because you mixed the record. I know they spending their money on the mix, but, man, you got to do what's in your heart and to make the track complete. So after we mixed it a few times, man, we went back over, did the third verse, did the intro, we just built. Went in, like, we built on that track for, like, a few weeks.
Graduated from the fabricated sabotage. Conversating with a lady going Lambo crazy. Bitch, you better cut it short, I'm about to cut you off. Oh, you greedy in Tahiti, I can see your flow. I tell that girl you about to sell them whips you tied on. I see how she react when you no longer in your Beamer. Yeah, she found out that the Bentley
really, was it really, really? Can you sell a kilo, help a nigga move a kilo? Or you want your private jet to take us out to Rio? Ain't no Maybach prevent a nigga from making moolah. Or you gold digging, digging, graveyard loser. Ain't none of my cause American, king of Zamunda. Let's have a heart-to-heart, drink wine, make art. Backseat of the Benzo, the AMG. Can you love a thug, it's all make-believe. For a fantasy, I see through it easily.
I told a bitch I don't give a fuck about a band, bitch. I told that bitch I don't give a fuck about a band, bitch. I told that bitch I don't give a fuck about a band.
Yeah.
It sounds really different from the rest of the album.
Yeah, yeah, it's way different. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a future Outkast record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's similar to the rest of the album in that it's kind of another relationship song.
Exactly. But it said, I don't want a friend who into that type of things. Like, I don't want a materialistic friend.
Mm-hmm.
I want something that's real. And that's what basically that song about. I don't want a friend that's just here for the fame or for the money or the cars that I'm driving.
Right.
But even saying, man, I don't want to be a crash dummy to the marketing of other people, far as the vehicles of foreign cars or whatever. You don't want to be a crash dummy for them, you know what I'm saying? And be like a brand, like you branding it all the time, even though we say his name, Ben's Friends, that's branding it off the rip. Like you just right. gave Ben's a look. So it's about that, just saying, man, strip down all that, man. Just no fear to take it for what it is.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how much does that come up for you, like worrying about how your art is related to brands?
Man, I just don't worry about being accepted.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You make music to change the radio, not make music for the radio.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. And what else about...
Even with Move That Dope, it's like, man, you got a record called Move That Dope. How you gonna get this on the radio? Don't think about that. Don't start. Like, man, you gotta move. We need a first single, Future. We need a first single. It can't be Move That Dope. You're talking about dope. Like, man, let the people judge that. Like, we gonna change the radio from every song that I did, from Rex on Rex, Same Damn Time, Love Song, Body Party, or Bugatti. We change the radio, the tempo of radio. It can be up-tempo. We go slow. We go slow. We go up-tempo. Like, you dictate your fans, you know what I'm saying? You and your fans dictate the way the radio, let them come to you.
Yeah.
Keep that underground feel.
Right, right. I want to go back to something real quick, because you did such a classic Outkast move, and you have a Big Rube track on your album.
Gotta put Big Rube.
Who is he? Can you explain for people who don't know?
Spoken word.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I love spoken word also.
Okay.
Because you don't have to rhyme when you do spoken word. Just say words with meaning, and just powerful with the way you say it and how aggressive you say it. So I always put Big Rube, man, just for inspiration for people that just can't get over certain things. Like, you may just need his words of encouragement, you know what I'm saying, to get you through your day. Because right. everybody's life ain't almost perfect. You feel me? Everybody going through something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even when it's good, you still going through something every day. Like, you just can't sugarcoat it and just try to hide behind the cameras or whatever. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like Big Rube is just stripped down, no filter. And he was always a part of the Dungeon family for just the, you know, he is Dungeon family, but for as all the albums that came out with Outkast. So for my first, on my album, all my mixtapes, I used to put them on my mixtapes. It was just like, just like my thing, my ritual to do is just put Big Rube on the album, because, man, Outkast, they did great. Platinum album, he was on the 10th, sold 10 million, he was a part of the album. So it was like, man, that's my thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Did you ask him to write something specific, or were you just like, here's your track, come in, do your thing?
Yeah, I pretty much tell him, just, man, listen to the track, man, just and just freestyle something.
He freestyle that?
Yeah, he be freestyling, man.
Wow.
And Big Rude, super dope.
I'm stainless, tempered by earth and flame, mixed with time and pain, ingrained with higher purpose, know the worth of my name, and the product I done came with. Not blameless for the straps and the dope that I hold, the sacks that I sold, kept my baby out the cold, her belly full of food and her back never lacking of clothes. This game is so grimy, it's impossible to win with your innocence intact. Matter of fact, it deranges. the person that you wanted to remain intrinsically changes.
Now I'm superstitious. I can't do an album without him.
Oh, okay.
Because OutKast, they didn't do an album without him. So I was like, man, they started it, and now I got to finish it. Since they're not putting an album out in 10 years.
I'm not saying nothing.
No
nope.
But even their old music sound is timeless music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you ain't got the OutKast album, go and pick it up right now.
What do you think about their tour this summer?
It's not like nothing that I ever seen.
Mm. Yeah.
I never seen a show like this. Mm. Like artists that even have that headline shows or whatever, they never put a show together like this.
Why does OutKast matter so much?
I don't know. You got to ask them that question, why they matter. But I know they matter for me just for the creativity.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And they always go above and beyond. They set the trend for right. How things are supposed to go for the next 10 years. I told them, like, man, off your stage set, I was talking to Big. I was like, this stage set, when artists see this stage set and they understand what y'all just did, it's going to, y'all set the tone for the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. So if you are in the forefront of that and you've been, like, in the school, like, you went to, that was your backyard and your front yard,
yeah.
You know? So you're going to be the one to set the tone.
I got to.
You know?
I have to. So I was just looking at them. I was amazed looking at their show when they was rehearsing. I was like, man, it's dope. You know what I'm saying? It made me step my stage performance up and also just my creativity, what goes on in my production side of the stage. I was like, man, even though I'm not getting as much as money y'all getting for the stage, I got to know how to dumb it down to make it make sense for me.
Huh. Okay. How would you do that? What do you mean dumb it down?
Because, because you know, they lightness it, man. They probably spent, $1 million on their stage.
Oh, I understand.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So just scheme it down to for just to fit what you going for your production set.
Sure.
Like, so I might don't use 20 lights. I might have to use 3 lights.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. You are not afraid to talk about relationships in your songs.
I'm not afraid to talk about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's music. Like, I just love music, period. I don't care what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk about this a lot, but, you know, songs for the ladies, which, like, makes me angry because I can hear the songs that aren't for the ladies also, and I can understand them and everything, but I think what you're doing is a little bit different because in the relationships, nobody's perfect, and right. They're not just, like, some of them are platonic relationships.
Right.
Why are you not sort of worried about being vulnerable?
Because, like I say, I love music. I'm not doing it for the comments or what I think people are going to think about it. I'm doing it only to make great music.
Mm-hmm.
That's my intention. I don't have an ulterior motive or being in a relationship because of this reason or because it is the fame or whatever. The reasons people might choose to think, but I just do it for the music first, you know what I'm saying, and let everything else happen.
Yeah.
Are you making your music for anyone specific or is it just like you just got to get it out of you?
I just got to get it out of me. I don't make my music for nobody specific. You know what I mean? I just love music and love doing it. Like, whatever beat come on, it don't have to be a particular beat or a particular producer that I have to work with. I just want to be in the studio. I love being in the studio 24 hours. I don't want to be nowhere else. I could have did this interview in the studio.
Me too. I'm the same way. It's a challenge.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
If you don't do it, you don't really understand it. But if, like, you just made like that, like, I could be indoors for 2 weeks straight. Actually, I was in Canada just this past winter. I didn't go outside for 2 weeks because the studio had a bedroom in there and was like, all right.
I'm pretty boring, too. Like, if you're around me, you're like, man, I want to go. We in London. Let's go inside. See, I'm like, man, I just want to go straight to the studio from my hotel. I was in London. And I see my I don't even know how the hotel look.
Yeah.
Because I walk out in the morning time and I leave and I go straight to the studio. And then when I come back, it's 3-4 in the morning and I go to sleep and wake up, go right back to the studio again. Until they tell me, man, they is not about to do an interview at the studio. I was telling everybody, can they come to the studio and do the interview? Please, like.
Maybe we should. You think it would be different? You think you would be more?
I'm more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more comfortable because I know everybody here in the studio, they love music just as much as me.
I think that's the
hear
case.
Hear people
in this
around
here,
they working,
too.
They doing their job. You know what I'm saying? Your artists coming through, hoodie, beanie, blonde, dreads. They like, man, who is this kid? They gonna judge you out the river. It's like, I feel it, but at the same time, I'd rather be in the studio where I'm comfortable so you can understand me. You might understand me more if you see me in the studio and hear some of my music.
So then how many records, how many albums do you have, like, already, like, sealed up?
Man, probably like 10 records, 10 albums. They don't even understand. People don't understand how much music I have because I work on music every single day.
So what's the plan? Like, is there a plan? Like, I do that too, and I have, like, a whole bunch of stuff that people never hear just because I'm like, I just needed to get that out. But do you have sort of, like, all your albums kind of, like, planned out? Do you?
Yeah, I have albums planned out, but you got, I'm under contract with the label right now, so I got to put the album out. So I'm telling the label, like, man, let's get back in. I'm ready to do my next album, man. Or
are they keeping you to like,
launching records out the blue?
But you do that through mixtapes, right? So are they keeping, because Prince had the same issue at Warner Brothers. He just wanted to keep releasing.
If I get a chance to put another album out within 3-4 months, then I'm not going to release a mixtape. I'm not going to hold back my music again because I did it for a whole year. And only reason is I stayed relevant because of my features, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm not going to just hold my music for another year. I'm not doing it no more. I did it for Honest. I tried it that way. I record too much. I'm putting my music out every 3 months. I'm dropping bombs.
So what's the relationship with the label?
They love it. They love it. I said, like, we got a good relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
We got to stay good. Now I told them I'm about to release some music. Get the deal done. I'm about to start dropping bombs. Like, that just went number one and it ain't on the album, man. I'm putting it out.
Man, see, that's the beautiful thing about, like, this time period. Just, like, with technology and just the capability, like, the artist really has some.
Hey, man, I ain't holding back and I'm not doing too many features this time. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing features working with these managers and the politics of what go on when you do a record with an artist, man. They think it's their record. They want to change the record to their record and they have more say-so than you have on your own song. You like, man, what is this? What's going on? And then the label, they don't want to get in between it. They start, like, getting mad with you, you know what I'm saying? Because you want to keep your record how you want it, and they want to cater to the artist and all this because of a name. And I'm not into names, man. It's too much politics dealing with it. It ain't about the music no more. It's too much politics. But that's why I want to go straight back into the studio, back in my zone. Get me back in my zone where I don't have to deal with none of that. Like, when I started on my mixtapes, I didn't have to. You see, all my mixtapes don't have no features. I was doing good. Did Same Downtime. Mm. I was doing Turn on the Lights by myself, Never End by myself. I was doing Magic by myself, Tony Montana. I did all those records, and I started opening up with artists. Man, let's work together. Let's work together. And as soon as you work with them, they send paperwork and managers and all that. Man, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm just, if you want to come to my studio session, come through. Let's work. I'm not trying to go out my way to work with you. Then at the end, it don't the business, and we falling out behind something that we shouldn't even have a fallout about. Yeah. So, man, it shouldn't be that complicated.
Do you find that you you have another power because you write songs for other people?
Yep.
So you could easily just kind of like fall back and be like, all right, I'm if you want to punish me,
I'm doing that too. I'm writing too,
but
so I can balance it all out for my artists and being able to write with other artists, like. Just going to the studio because, like, I love writing. I love making music from R&B songs, pop songs, rap songs. It don't matter. Go in and knock it out and just create something beautiful, magic, create some magic.
What do you feel is one of your best, like, writing experiences for something that you wrote for someone else that, like, they really, really got it and just, you know, like, when you hear it, you're like, wow.
I believe it was Body Party. Mm-hmm. Like, Body Party was, because everybody like, man, you gonna write something, man? She can't come back, man. It's no way possible you can do this. There's no way this, that. Like, I heard everything you could think about when we start recording together. Man, you, is it for this or is it for that? And then we just made music, and it just, you can tell that it was real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was number one record. Like, she was dropping like 4 singles before she put out Body Party, and then Body Party go number one. It was special. It was a special moment for the both of us. How we got in, man, we love music so much, we did what we had to do to do a great record. And I remember Mike Will bringing me the track, was like, man, this is for Sierra. Then when I heard the track, I instantly knew it was a body part.
That's dope.
I don't think the visual hurt.
Nah, the visual, it created more fire, added more fire to the flame. That was her vision. She knew what she wanted, though. Like, you got to understand, when you're working with an artist that know what they want, it's easy. You know what I'm saying? She knew exactly the melodies that she wanted to do, how she wanted the hook to come in, when she wanted the hook to stop, how she wanted her video, what she wanted to wear in the video, who she wanted to shoot the video, what she wanted the video at. Like, everything about that, man, it was her ideas, and I just wanted to be a part of her ideas, you know what I'm saying, because I knew it was brilliant.
Do you think about your visuals as much as her?
Yeah, of course. But through her, it made me think about my vision. Like, she opened my eyes up into more, to the visuals more.
Okay.
Like, the video is just as important as the song.
Okay.
You know?
So how involved are you in all of your videos?
Now I'm 100% involved, like with the treatments, just from the editing to everything.
Do you mind being photographed?
No.
So it's an easy process. I mean, some people
I just hate
mind.
To just, for pictures, like, man, stand up against the wall, do this, turn to the face. Man, I like candid moments.
Yeah, me too.
I like candid moments better.
Okay. Are you going to do anything, are you going to try anything different with videos going forward or with your stage show? On tour?
Yep, we're doing stuff with my stage show, just being more involved with the stage, give the people a real show, you know what I'm saying? Everybody want to see that show now, like, instead of just coming out on the stage, jumping around, man, you just got to get that theme, or just that sequence to the album, make the show look like, feel like the album.
Okay. Got it. With lights and everything?
Yeah, the lightning got to be crazy. I want the lightning to represent every song, you know what I'm saying? The way the lights flash, or where they on or off or dim. Gotta make a great light show, man.
Is there anything else you wanna talk to
the show
about?
Yeah. you said you make music and you wanna shift the energy in the room. Yeah. The energy when you drop a future record is either like super romantic and a chill, like kinda like,
well, you don't even know you're in love until you drop the phone.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Hey, I'm really in love.
I'm a 70s baby, so, you know, I grew up, my mom, they used to throw house parties, change the light bulbs to the colorful ones, and it'd be like a whole bunch of, like, romantic sort of environment. So that's how I grew up. So I like to do that in the club sometimes, play, like, just shift the energy, be like, you know, everybody wants to turn up and do all this. I like throwing Al Green just to make people feel uncomfortable, actually, because I'm like, I grew up watching that, and you don't see people doing that in a club. So it's like some of your music, the romantic stuff, it gives that sort of energy. But then it just, the other stuff is super aggressive, bro.
Yeah.
It's super aggressive, which I understand that's what it is. But I'm asking, can we get an in-between? And I don't know how to explain that.
Ben's friends.
Okay.
Kind of is.
It's in between. That's what you were saying. Like, it's a future record, but it's stand out.
Yeah.
Because it's not super aggressive, but it's not laid back. All right.
And the relationship is also like in between.
I take that.
Yeah. Ben's Friends, man. One of those records. I did it with that.
Keep doing it.
Keep doing it, man. I got to, man. It's time, because Future Hendrix, that's what it was. I had to take a step back to take a step forward. Mm.
Well, good luck.
Yeah.
Nah, you work hard, bro. And it seems, you know, for people who don't understand, they look at something and be like, wow, he just came out of nowhere. But no, if you really look.
The history.
And you put a lot of work into it. And when you put a lot of work into it, then you see great, wonderful things. It may seem like an explosive thing, but it's not, you know. And if you want to for those out there who are looking at you and it's like, yo, I want to grow up to be just like Future, it's like, okay, then understand the path that was taken. There's no shortcuts to this.
No shortcuts.
I mean, some people take the shortcuts, but then you see what happens. And obviously, your music affects a lot of people in so many different ways, and you're wholly embraced. So, nice. You know, for people out there who's paying attention, like, long road it.
Longevity. Longevity. That's all it's about.
Know the history.
Got to know your history, man. A lot of people don't know the history.
Thank you.
But, hey, we're being honest.